Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a prayer meeting, so let's open with a word of prayer. How unusual is that, huh? Well, Father, we have the honor of bowing before you in this little group once again this morning, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your living word, and Lord, we thank you for the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith, Lord. And as we look at another prayer in the Bible today, Lord, we just thank you for what we can always glean from your word. And there's always something, even when we go over it again and again and again and again. So may we glean this morning on what you would have each of us. You know what we need. You know what we want, in a sense. Some things good, some things not. And help us to understand what you have for us today, this February the 4th, 2017. We'll never have another one of those days exactly like this one. And help us to redeem this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're in the book of Colossians again today. Last week we had that great prayer in chapter 1, and we had a fellow introduced there in that particular beginning of that prayer, and it was Epaphras, and he was introduced as our dear fellow servant, not just a servant, not just a fellow servant, but a dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So we believe he was the pastor, probably the founding pastor of the little church in Colossae, and maybe also in Hierapolis. And now today we have a prayer from him, really, in chapter 4. So it's really short. Here is what it is, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. But what a great prayer, because that's pretty much covers the waterfront, doesn't it? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So we can pray that for each other every day, every hour, really. So let's begin by singing, "Oh, to be like thee," because if we are standing perfect and complete in the will of God, we are going to be like Christ, aren't we? As close as we can get, anyway. So the notes on page 1 of your little handout at the top are the words, and let's sing along with the singer here, "Oh, to be like thee." Okay, well, as I mentioned in the prayer earlier, we are in Colossians today, and this is the second prayer, as we had the first one last week in Colossians chapter 1. And you remember that we may have mentioned Colossians is a short epistle, four chapters, and it's all about the preeminence of Christ. And after we are given quite a dose of the preeminence of Christ in chapters 1 and part of chapters 2, then we have how to live. And as Paul the Apostle wraps this letter up, in the last several verses here, he has final greetings from his friend. And it's always interesting to see Paul's friends. Somebody counted all of the mention of friends, named and unnamed, in the book of Acts and in Paul's epistles, and came up with over 100 names. And so it's amazing that he would mention so many. Here he mentions several. In verse 7, he mentions Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose. And then with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. So these are two fellows who had not always been with him, but they were here serving as well. And then he has three that pretty much have been with him. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Aristarchus was even on the shipwreck cruise. He was on the trip to Rome. He was with Paul on maybe all of his missionary journeys, certainly the latter ones. And then John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And this is really always exciting to see reconciliation, isn't it? Because you remember the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas took Barnabas's cousin, or nephew, along with them. And then fairly early on in the trip, they went through Cyprus and then on into the coast of Turkey. And then Mark turned around and came home. And so on the second missionary journey, they got ready to leave. And Barnabas says, "We're taking John with us again." And Paul said, "No way." And so that team was broken up, and then Paul took Silas and they went. But here we see once again that the fellowship has been restored, and it says, "My fellow prisoner greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him." And then Justus as well. So these three guys, it says, "These are my only fellow workers." So those are three that are with him at this time. Now, he also mentions some others here. He's going to mention Luke, the beloved physician, a Gentile. These first three were Jews, I think. And then Demas is also. Now, Demas is kind of a sad story. Demas is mentioned three times. Here, he's just mentioned as Demas. And then the next time, he's mentioned one time he's mentioned as a worker. Here, he's just mentioned as Demas. And then in 2 Timothy, he says, "And Demas has departed from me because he loved the things of the world more." So, sad thing. But we have Demas here greeting them. And then the Nymphas or Nymphia in some translations, whoever that is, a church that's in his house. And so those are the ones he's mentioning. And now we want to focus in on verse 12 because this is the prayer of Epaphras. And as I mentioned, very short. Epaphras, who is one of you. So he is from the church of Colossae and the pastor of that church, and gave such a good report. And what is he called? He's called a bond servant of Christ. Well, you can't get any better than that, can you? Isn't that what we all want to be, is a bond slave, a bond servant of Christ, totally given over to him. So here's this bond servant of Christ, and listen to this. He greets you always. Greets you always. Isn't that a great statement to say of somebody? And then not just greeting you always, but laboring fervently. And this is a agonomai, which is where we get our word agonize from. It means with agony, laboring fervently. In other words, this is not just passively thinking of you, but he is laboring, and he's laboring in prayer primarily because he says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Can that be said of any of us, that we do labor fervently in prayer? Maybe not always, but do we ever? I pray so. But here he is always laboring fervently for you in prayers. And what is the prayer generally, as you would summarize it? Well, the way it's summarized here, it's that. And remember, in prayers, that is always a big word, because what comes after the that is what they're being praying specifically for. And we need to pray for specific things in our prayers as well as general, but particularly specific. If we're just all over the map, I'm just mentioning one thing after the other, it's probably not as effective as zeroing in, even before you pray, on what are you going to pray for? What are you asking the Lord for? And maybe you narrow that down to maybe one thing, or maybe two, or maybe three, and then you bang away on that. You zero in on that. So here's the summary of his prayers for you as he's laboring in agony for you always, that you may stand, that you may stand. So standing, you all know what that is. We see that quite often. You see that in Ephesians 6 with regard to stand up against the devil. Stand, don't retreat, don't sit down, but stand. And so here we want to stand. In other words, what? Perfect and complete. These two words are somewhat similar. Perfect means, one of the meanings of perfect is complete, but perfect really means to mature, to be fully ripened, in other words, not green anymore, but that you may stand fully mature, spiritually speaking, we're talking about. And complete. Complete means to what it says. It's completed. It's fulfilled. Now, in your notes, I put down the way these words were used in this prayer. And stand is hestamai. It is used quite often in the scriptures. 116 times. These are all New Testament. 116 times is stand. 11 times is set. Not sit, but set. 5 times is establish. 4 is stand still. And 3 stand by. And there's a miscellaneous use 17 times. So it really means to stand. And then perfect, teleos, it's translated perfect 17 times, man once and full of age once. So that's perfect. And then complete, plero, to fulfill 51 times. So it's usually used in the terms of fulfilled or fulfilling. But here it's used as complete. You'll notice it's only used twice in the whole New Testament as complete. But it does fit here, doesn't it? Perfect and complete, or perfect, mature and fulfilled. Perfect and complete how or what? In a little bit of the will of God. Is that right? No. It's in all the will of God. All is used many times in this little epistle. And, you know, Jesus is certainly the preeminent one in all things. But here we have to be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Notice that's not in all the will of the flesh. It's not in all the will of yourself. It's not in all the will of the world. It's not in all the will of anything but God. So that's Epaphras' prayer for his fellow, for his body of Christ, the believers there in the area of Colossae and in the other areas as well. This letter was circulated to different churches there. Perfect and complete in all the will of God. So we're to stand perfect, we're to stand complete, and that's what we should desire for ourselves and for others. So cheerful submission and universal obedience. So are you obedient to the Lord? Are you obedient to His Word? Are you in cheerful submission to it? Are you When you, for example, when you give your gifts to the Lord, is it cheerful? If it's not, I wouldn't give. God doesn't want grudging givers. He doesn't want grudging workers. So we want to serve Him because we love Him, and we don't want to serve Him out of duty. We don't want to serve Him grudgingly. No, then don't do it. Just resign from what you're doing now, if that's your attitude, because you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. So just get out of there. Let somebody else have a good face for the Lord, not a scowling face of being unhappy with that. But a better idea is just to cheerfully submit to the Lord and continue what you're doing, right? Cheerful submission, and to be constant in that and persevere in that until the end, right? So that's the prayer. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness, Epaphras witness, that he has a great zeal for you, for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. So those cities are near each other. Those of you who visited there know that. But he has a great zeal for the people. So he wants that zealousness in us out of love, right? And so this is the same thing here. There's that love for the people there in Colossae, and Epaphras has that great zeal for them, zealous for good works. So that's the prayer. Now may we go to prayer this morning. And as we're led by the Spirit, just speak out. Keep your prayers short, because when we want to agree with you, if it's running on and on and on, it's really hard to agree with many different things, but kind of whatever the Spirit puts on your heart, that's what we want to pray for, and there we will be praying in one accord. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for all the prayers in the Bible, and Lord, we just thank you now that we have time to pray. And Lord, we have much to pray for. We have this nation to pray for. We have government to pray for, the leaders of this nation and of all the world, really, kings and those in authority. We want to pray for the body of Christ. We want to pray for this church, this body right here, and all the bodies, really. We want to pray for the pastors. And we just want to pray for the lost, Lord. That's maybe the most important thing of all, is those that are lost and not on their way to be with you, but on their way to be eternally separated from you by their choice. And so, Lord, guide us now in this time of prayer and lead us by your Spirit. And may we cheerfully submit and surrender to you in all things at all times. In Jesus' name, amen.